Today, what I want to do is based on this scripture. I want to talk a little bit about what happens when you go through stuff in life. And at the end of it, you cry out to God and you say, God, this is not what I had planned. God, this is not where I saw my life at this moment. It's a message that's dedicated to those that have gone through 2019. And as the biggest day on the calendar approaches, there's some anxiety because they're not where they thought they should be. Pastor Mark, almost every single week, has been asking questions about whether people have got ready for Christmas. So I'm just going to ask that question because he didn't today. How many of you guys consider yourselves planners? How many of you had your Christmas stuff all ready by the end of July? Because I know Mel did. And that's how you know you're a planner. How many of you are like me, whereby you just kind of wait until the last day and you actually haven't even got it planned today? All right, you guys should not even be in church because you are in problems. You should be out somewhere getting stuff. But sometimes whenever life takes a different direction from what you had planned, it can be a little bit rattling at times. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, speaking to certain people over the past few weeks and over the past few months, there's some people that are struggling. My job, and recently over the past few weeks, my job has meant that I've had to travel all across WA and all across Northern Territory. And I've literally been telling people that they don't have a job with us anymore. These are people who never thought that at this point of time in their lives, they would have to be out looking for work. There's so many people that are close to me, and I know people that are close to you that are struggling with something medical, and they never thought that they would have to be dealing with this at this point in their lives. This is not what they had planned. There's people that are thinking, I didn't plan on being separated at this point. This isn't what I thought would be happening when I started 2019. Some of us, as Christmas Day draws closer and closer, we start thinking about what Pastor Mark was talking about last week, about that empty chair, whether it's symbolically or whether it's a physical empty chair, and we are very conscious about the person that's not sharing Christmas with us this year. We're facing things that we didn't plan for, and it's rattling our faith. And we're wondering, okay, God, where are you? Why are you allowing this to happen? This is not what I had planned. In Matthew chapter 1, it talks about the birth of Jesus. And there's another version which you can find in Luke chapter 2. But those two verses, they actually gather and capture our attention because of the drama that is unfolding. And I want to talk to you today from these verses, but from the Donald version. And the Donald version is looking at it and saying, this story actually took place over months and months and months. And so we get a hint of what's happening, but we don't get the detail. As an example, if I say to you to describe your 2019 in three paragraphs, I know some of you would be saying, the devil is a liar, that's impossible to be done. But you would be able to condense it and summarize it. But there would be detail upon detail upon detail that would be missed out. And in this scripture, that is exactly where we find ourselves. And so I want you to, in your mind's eye, work with me. Imagine what's happening. Fill in the gaps with me. We've got Mary on a Wednesday night. She decides to go to youth group because that's what you do. And she goes to the synagogue and she catches up with her friends. And this particular Wednesday, there's a guy by the name of Joey, a youth leader that is preaching, and he grabs Mary's attention, and she's like, whoa, this guy is something else. I mean, he's passionate when he's preaching the word. When he's telling scripture that talks about the Messiah's coming, his face just looks like it's glowing. And Mary is just mesmerized. Come on, this is what happens in real life. And the scripture doesn't talk about it. But can you imagine? Mary is, at the end of it, talking to her friends. They're hanging out and Joey walks by and he starts talking to them and he starts asking her questions. And she starts finding out a little bit more about him. And she finds out that this guy, he's got a job. He's a carpenter. The last guy she was dating, you know, he didn't have a job. He was staying with his parents, and he was addicted to Xbox. So she's like, this guy is going somewhere. And she's wondering, is he really interested in me? And she's thinking, maybe not. I really don't know. But he is. And during the week, Joseph is at home and he's thinking about Mary and he's praying and the next week he actually gets the nerve, he gets the courage, and he puts on an extra squirt of cologne and he goes there, and he actually, after the service, he asks Mary out for a cup of coffee, and they go to Finlay and Sons, and they're sitting across from one another and they're having a great time talking and laughing over a nice espresso or chai. Or insert whatever drink you drink there. Can you imagine this? And Mary's like, this is just coffee. It doesn't mean anything. But they're laughing, and Joseph accidentally goes to grab the sugar. And so does she. And their fingers touch. And all of a sudden, every single love song that's played on the radio begins to make sense. Joseph buys her a stuffed teddy, which is what us guys do to say, you know, I really like you, but I'm not going to tell you I like you. And it progresses. Eventually, she meets his parents. He meets her parents. They're spending more and more time together. And she begins to realize that he's lost. He's totally into her. Joseph's got a job and he starts saving all his money. And eventually he's got enough to go to Michael Hill and you know, put some money and get a rock, and he's going to put a ring on that. And they go out for a walk one evening, and it's absolutely a stunning night. It's beautiful. The sun is setting. They cross over this bridge. Joseph has got someone hiding in the bushes with a telescopic lens just to capture that Instagram moment. Mary's acting cool. She knows what's coming, but she's saying, I'm not even going to give it away. Joseph goes to one knee and says, "Mary, will you marry me?" Mary's super excited. Again, she's playing it cool. She's not showing anything. Can you tell there's some angst from my own proposal that's coming out here? And Joseph is kind of feeling like, wow, this is a little bit awkward. But eventually Mary screams out, "Yes, I will marry you." And they go out and they're telling every single person that, you know what, guess what, we're engaged. They start planning the wedding. Joseph's mother takes over and she's planning everything because, you know, she's a control freak and she wants to have it perfect. But they start planning their future together. Come on. This is what everybody does, right? They make plans. They talk about Joseph going to work, Mary staying at home with the two kids. They're going to have a boy and they're going to have a girl. And the boy's name's going to be Donald. And the girl's name's going to be Michelle. And they're talking stuff like that. They're making grand, big plans. And then one day, Mary is out by herself. And she has this awesome, amazing, holy encounter with the living God. And this angel says to Mary, and it says to her, "Blessed are you, for you are going to have a child by the Holy Spirit." And Mary's thinking, you know what? I love God, and I love Joseph, and God has chosen me to be a part of history. And so she's super excited, and she runs to Joseph. She can't wait to tell him the news. "I'm pregnant with the Son of God." And Joseph's super excited, right? He's a guy. He's freaking out. Instead of joy on his face, there's confusion, fear, and frustration. We're talking about real people. And we don't know how it came about. But we read from verse 18 that they had plans to get married. And somewhere between verse 18 and verse 19, everything hits the fan. Joseph is devastated. He's crushed. His heart is broken. Let's read between the lines. He's put a deposit on the venue where they're going to get married. The invitations have gone out to all of their friends. He's got to tell his parents. He's got to tell his community. He's got to tell his friends that they're going to get divorced. And even more than the public humiliation, he's thinking, this woman that I've given my everything to has been unfaithful. And so he plans a divorce. And if you're paying careful attention, you're wondering how can they get divorced if they haven't even been married. But back in those days, when you got engaged, it was considered as if you're married. And the only way to break it up was with a divorce. But Joseph is a righteous man and he wants to do it quietly. He doesn't want Mary to be an outcast, which is what would have happened in those days. Let's look at it from Mary's perspective. when the angel appears to Mary. This is what she says to the angel. May it be done unto me according to your word. Those are what Mary's words are. And if she was living here in today's time, she would have said something like this. I love God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my mind. And whatever plan he has for my life, I will gladly do it. I will gladly give my life to raise this kid. But now, her life feels like it's completely over. Can you imagine her saying, God, I was so excited. I had the man of my dreams. This is not what I had planned. Why are you allowing this to happen? I only tried to do what you asked of me. And I don't know about you, but maybe there's some of you that are saying, you know what, God, I'm finally managing financially to get ahead. I've saved up this little bit of money so that my kids can have the best Christmas, and then some bill comes in, the car breaks down. And you say, this is not what I had planned. You've gone to the doctor and you've got a diagnosis. And you're battling cancer and you're saying, God, this is not what I had planned. This is not how life is supposed to have turned out. We're being real here. You took a job because you thought it was a better opportunity. You get better promotions. You'll be able to provide for your family a heck of a lot better. And then there's a downturn in the economy. You're the last one in, and so you're the first one out. This is not what I had planned. I didn't plan on having migraines. I didn't plan on battling depression. I didn't plan on fighting cancer. I didn't plan on that loved one not being here. At the start of the message, I said, I will give you one truth. And I hope that this truth you plant in your heart. The one big thought, one big truth is this. You don't have to understand the plan to trust that God has a purpose. You don't have to understand the plan to know that God has a purpose. Can we bring up Proverbs, please? Proverbs says you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. You see, Mary and Joseph's plans were wrecked. They were shattered. Joseph determines, I've got no choice but to divorce. And just as he considers that, we'll go back to Matthew, please. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. And Joseph is saying, what are you actually saying? That everything that Mary said was true? And the angel is saying, yes. The pain that I went through has a purpose. Yes. And in my mind, I can almost hear God whispering to him, my thoughts are so much more different from your thoughts. My ways so much higher than your ways. And even though you may not feel it, I'm working all things to bring about good to those who love me and who are called according to my purpose. So, life is good. Joseph and Mary are back together. And everything's going to be all right. Except they have to travel to Bethlehem. And riding the donkey, Mary goes into labor. Joseph has forgotten to make a reservation. There's no hospital, there's no hotel. And she gives birth in a cave next to a farm. And she thinks, I'm giving birth to the Son of God. I'm going to sneeze and we're going to have a baby. But she's in pain. It hurts. This is not what I had planned. The baby Jesus is born, Savior of the world. Surely things are going to be all right from now on. And then she finds out that the ruler of her universe, King Herod, has determined that Jesus needs to die. And so they're on the run. This is not what I had planned. Fast forward 33 years. And Mary, the mother who said yes to God, she's standing up, looking up at the cross, at her son Jesus. Band, you can come up. Her son, stripped, naked. He's on the cross, supported only by spikes in his wrist and in his feet. His back is split open from being whipped over and over again. Historians tell that possibly his insides were hanging out from the cruelty of the Romans. His face is bruised. It's bloody. He doesn't look human. His breath is leaving him. And he has to pull himself up just to get a breath. She's looking up and she's thinking, God, this is not what I had planned. And what does Jesus do? Half the crowd is spitting at him. The other half is mocking him. And Mary can't do a thing. God, this is not what I had planned. The crowd shouts out, Jesus, save yourself. God, this is not what I had planned. Jesus looks to heaven. And he prays, Father, please forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Mary looks to her son, who is righteous in every way. And then Jesus, with faith and passion, declares, it is finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He takes one last breath, and everything goes dark, and the world shakes. And this isn't recorded in Scripture, but I can tell you it happened. I have seen this type of grief. Mary's legs give out from under her from the weight of the pain. And she cries out, God, no! This is my son! This is not what I had planned. Mary and Joseph had a plan. God had a purpose. Joseph had a plan. God had a purpose. And what was that purpose that you ask? People say all the time, Jesus is the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for the season. Can I look at it from a different perspective? Because I'm sure that if we had to ask God what his purpose was, God would have said, you are the reason. And the purpose. Jesus had his righteousness stripped away. He came and he was born to a virgin woman so that he didn't inherit the sinful nature of man, but he inherited the righteousness of God. He came for you and for me, and that's the purpose. Irrespective of what you're going through, irrespective of whether the plans in your life have come to fruition or not, irrespective of whether God has diverted your steps, you are the reason that God came. All those changes of plans that Mary and Joseph went through, it was for a purpose, and the purpose was you. I don't know what you're crying out for. I don't know what difficulty you've been through. I don't know who you're missing in that empty chair. I don't know what child you're praying for, who's hanging out with the wrong group. I don't know what financial situation you're going through. I don't know who left you. But whereas you had a plan, God had a purpose. You don't have to understand the plan. You just need to trust that God has a purpose. The Bible says many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And in this Christmas season, when we talk about the birth of Jesus, let's talk about the plan that Mary and Joseph had, but the purpose God had. Pray with me. Father, today I pray, especially for those who are hurting, confused, and grieving. I pray, Father God, that you may touch them. That you may show them. You are the God that's in the fire. You are the God that's in the waters holding back what seems to want to overwhelm us. Show us the purpose that you have for us. Show us the grace and the mercy and the freedom to be let go from all that we've hang on to that has not worked out. And in this season, to look to you and all that has. The reason for the season, yes, is Jesus. But the purpose is that he may come, die for us, set us free to walk in freedom. Amen.